You are listening to the life of Jesus Christ in a year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, though, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God and through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 169, and in this episode, we'll continue reading from Volume 3. Today, we begin a new section from the second conversion of Magdalene to the delivery of the keys to Peter. Today, we will read a portion of number 1, Jesus teaching in Azanoth, the second conversion of Magdalene. 1. About an hour to the south of the inn at Dothan lay the little town of Azanoth. It was built on an eminence upon which was a teacher's chair, and in earlier times it had often been the scene of the prophet's preaching. Through the activity of the disciples, the report had been spread throughout the whole region that Jesus was about to deliver a great instruction in that place, and in consequence of this report, multitudes were gathered there from all Galilee. Martha, attended by her maid, had journeyed to Magdalene in the hope of inducing her to be present at the instruction, but she was received very haughtily by her sister, with whom things had come to the worst. She was, on Martha's arrival, engaged at her toilet, and sent word that she could not speak to her then. Martha awaited her sister's appearance with unspeakable patience, occupying herself meanwhile in prayer. At last the unhappy Magdalene presented herself, her manner haughty, excited, and defiant. She was ashamed of Martha's simple attire. She feared that some of her guests might see her. Consequently, she requested her to go away as soon as possible. But Martha, begging to be allowed to rest in some corner of the house, she and her maid were conducted to a room in one of the side buildings where, either through design or forgetfulness, they were allowed to remain without food or drink. It was then afternoon. Meanwhile, Magdalene adorned herself for the banquet, at which she was seated on a richly decorated chair, while Martha and her maid were in prayer. After the revelry, Magdalene went at last to Martha, taking with her something on a little blue-edged plate, and something to drink. She addressed Martha angrily and disdainfully, her whole demeanor expressively of pride and insolence, uneasiness, and interior agitation. Martha, full of humility and affection, invited Magdalene to go with her once more to the great instruction Jesus was going to deliver in the neighborhood. All Magdalene's female friends, Martha urged, those whom she had lately met, would be there and very glad to see her. She herself, Magdalene, had already testified to the esteem in which she held Jesus, and she should now gratify Lazarus and herself, Martha, by going once more to hear him preach. She would not soon again have the opportunity of hearing of the wonderful prophet, and at the same time of seeing all her friends in her own neighborhood. She had shown by her anointing of Jesus at the banquet of Gabara that she knew how to honor greatness and majesty. She should now again salute him, whom she had once so nobly and fearlessly honored in public, etc., etc. It would be impossible to say how lovingly Martha spoke to her erring sister, or how patiently she endured her shamefully contemptuous manner. At last, Magdalene replied, "I shall go, but not with you. You can go on ahead, for I will not be seen with one so miserably clothed. I shall dress according to my position, and I shall go with my own friends." At these words, the two sisters separated, for it was very late. The next morning, Magdalene sent for Martha to come to her room while she was making her toilet. Martha went, patient as usual, and secretly praying that Magdalene might go with her and be converted. Magdalene, clothed in a fine woolen garment, was sitting on a low stool, while two of her maids were busily engaged washing her feet and arms and perfuming them with fragrant water. Her hair was divided into three parts above the ears and at the back of the head, after which it was combed, brushed, oiled, and braided. Over her fine woolen undergarment was put a green robe, embroidered with large yellow flowers, and over that again a mantle with folds. Her headdress was a kind of crimped cap that rose high on the forehead. Both her hair and her cap were interwoven with numberless pearls, and in her ears were long pendants. Her sleeves were wide above the elbow, but narrow below, and fastened with broad glittering bracelets. Her robe was plaited. Her under bodice was open on the breast and laced with shining cords. During the toilet, Magdalene held in her hand a round polished mirror. She wore an ornament on her breast. It was covered with gold and encrusted with cut stones and pearls. Over the narrow-sleeved underdress, she wore an upper one with a long flowing train and short, wide sleeves. It was made of changeable violet silk and embroidered with large flowers, some in gold, others in different colors. The braids of her hair were ornamented with roses made of raw silk and strings of pearls interwoven with some kind of stiff, transparent stuff that stood out in points. Very little of the hair could be seen, though its load of ornamentation. It was filled high around the face over the headdress. Magdalene wore a rich hood of fine transparent material. It fell on the high headdress in front, shaded the cheeks, and hung low on the shoulders behind. Martha took leave of her sister and went to the inn near Damna, in order to tell Mary and the holy women the success she had had in her efforts to persuade Magdalene to be present at the instruction about to be given in Azanoth, when the Blessed Virgin, a dozen women also, had come to Damna, among them Anna Cleophas, Susanna, Alpheus, Susanna of Jerusalem, Veronica, Joanna Chusa, Mary Marcus, Dinah Moroni, and the Suphonite. Jesus, accompanied by six apostles and a number of the disciples, started from the inn at Dothan for Azanoth. On the way, he met the holy women coming from Damna. Lazarus was among Jesus' companions on this occasion. After Martha's departure, Magdalene was very much tormented by the devil, who wanted to prevent her going to Jesus' instruction. She would have followed his suggestions were it not for some of her guests who had agreed to go with her to Azanoth, to witness what they had called a great show. Magdalene and her frivolous, sinful companions rode on asses to the Inn of the Holy Women, near the baths of Bethulia. Magdalene's splendid seat, along with cushions and rugs for the others, followed packed on asses. Next morning, Magdalene, again arrayed in her most wanton attire, and surrounded by her companions, made her appearance at the place of instruction, which was about an hour from the inn at which she was stopping. With noise and bustle, loud talk, and bold staring about, they took their places under an open tent far in front of the holy women. There were some men of their own stamp in their party. They sat upon cushions and rugs and upholstered chairs, all in full view. Magdalene in front. Their coming gave rise to general whispering and murmurs of disapprobation, for they were even more detested and despised in these quarters than in Gabara. The Pharisees especially, who knew of her first subsequent relapse into her former disorders, were scandalized and expressed their indignation at her daring to appear in such an assembly. Jesus, after healing many sick, began his long and severe discourse. The details of his sermon I cannot now recall, but I know that he cried woe upon Capernaum, Bethsaida, and Chorazin. He said also that the Queen of Saba had come from the south to hear the wisdom of Solomon, but here was one greater than Solomon. And lo the wonder! Children that had never yet spoken, babes in their mother's arms, cried out from time to time during the instruction. Jesus, out of Nazareth, holiest of prophets, son of David, son of God, which words caused many of the hearers, and among them Magdalene, to tremble with fear. Making allusion to Magdalene, Jesus said that when the devil had been driven out and the house had been swept, he returns with six other demons and rages worse than before. These words terrified Magdalene. After Jesus had in this way touched the hearts of many, he turned successively to all sides and commanded the demon to go out of all that side for deliverance from his thraldom, but that those who wished to remain bound to the devil should depart and take him along with them. At this command, the possessed cried out from all parts of the circle. Jesus, though Son of God, and here and there people sank to the ground unconscious. This concludes our reading for today. And now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Maybe you chuckled interiorly, as I did, when we heard this reference of the toilet, not once but twice. She was, on Martha's arrival, engaged at her toilet and sent word that she could not speak to her then. And then there was another passing reference too. Next morning, Magdalene sent for Martha to come to her room while she was making her toilet. I'm wondering if maybe, you know, there's something else to understand that maybe in this translation that we have, that there's something wanting here. Because that's probably one of those unnecessary details. But, you know, I guess the vivid detail of Anne Catherine Emmerich in these visions kind of emphasizes for us the fact that she was aware of what was surrounding her. Now, we heard at the very end of our reading today, for example, that she said, you know, I don't recall all the details. So she recalls some. Who couldn't forget a toilet, if that's what they're really referring to? But there's something about the vivid descriptions that she gives. And then Mary Magdalene comes. She's going to hear Jesus preach. It says that Martha went patient as usual and secretly praying that Magdalene might go with her and be converted. Martha knows and believes in her heart that if Mary Magdalene joins her, that the words of Jesus are going to win her heart over. I know that you listening, that you probably have someone in your life like the Magdalene, away from the Lord, and you just pray. And maybe they're going to go with you to church for Christmas, and you just pray that maybe as the gospel is proclaimed, as the story is shared of the Lord's birth, of its meaning, that something sinks in, touches their hearts, changes their minds about God and faith and all of that. You have a companion, it seems, from Anne Catherine Emmerich's writings in Martha, who is praying for the conversion of someone she loves so much. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends. Let them know you're listening and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.